To be wronged is wonderful. Nothing could happen to you better in today's world than to be wronged. All the politicians can get up there and beat and pummel, and the trial lawyers can go to this poor woman who was walking down the street, and there was an accident out in the street, and now she went and had a heart attack. So the accident in the street caused her to have a heart attack. How did the accident in the street ask this lady to have a heart attack? There's a big payoff in being victimhood, friends, because that big noise out there sent her into shock, and she had a heart attack. Don't mention the fact she's been overeating for 42 years, and her blood pressure is 180 over 120. No, just the fact there's an accident out there. So you see the game we have of payoff. Well, that's the ego's game inside of ourself. You get the payoff of suffering and feeling bad. You say, that's a payoff? Well, of course it's a payoff. If we didn't get something out of suffering, we would stop suffering. If we didn't get something out of fear, you get to be scared out of fear. You see, the ego then lives or has learned how to live off negatives. It's like an animal who's been forced by migration to move in where there's no grass and no green leaves and has now learned how to live off cactus. We have them out in Arizona. They learn how to live off the edges of cactus. So the ego then, deprived of the nurturance of love, has learned how to live and survive. It survives through hatred. So the ego feeds on its own juice. It propagates itself. And you can see that few are the people that are willing to give it up. If we ask, what percentage of mankind is below 200, we get 85%. 85% of the population on this planet is below 200, dedicated to that which is non-integrous, survives by virtue of dedication to that which is non-integrous. And so all the peaceniks with all their parades and platforms, etc., and music, don't change anybody's mind, because whole continents feed off of and survive and live off of non-integrity. Nothing sounds more nonsensical and sophomoric than peaceniks parading around and asking the rest of the world to commit suicide, you might say. Give up the whole reason and tundra of their whole life. Their whole life is about hate and getting even and revenge and feeling sorry for yourself and one-upmanship and macho in political terms. So the whole basis of survival of 85% of the population is non-integrous. Who is the audience that is reached by people who talk about world peace and all that? Well, I'll tell you who's the audience. It's people who are already there. People who already have chosen that as their lifestyle, clap and applaud. And does that change anything? No, because those people are there already. The people are there already. So, like the people who go to listen to classical music are already into classical music. You don't convert, you know, people that are into gangster rock to classical music by dragging them to something by Verdi. So how does the consciousness of mankind then progress? You know, the whole continent of Africa calibrates between 40 to maybe 160 in North Africa, the Middle East, 180, 190. You're not even up to 200. We've just talked about an entire continent where not one country is over 200, not one country. So that brings us back to the political realities, the reality of consciousness research then, and its application in everyday life, including politics and economics, that you come out of naivete and you begin to become aware of what it is you're talking to. In political dialogue, then, we have to have a more reasonable understanding of who it is we're talking to. And it's embarrassing to listen to one of our politicians talk to a great politician from another country in terminology that is completely unacceptable. See? If somebody calibrates at 90 and you're talking about democracy and the vote and all that kind of stuff, you're talking about people that are starving to death for the next meal. So democracy sounds nonsensical. Nonsensical. Then consciousness research is of great value, not only in spiritual evolution, but in everyday life, to make us more conscious of what is the spiritual reality of man's life in its various expressions in today's world. We saw how it evolved from the beginning of life in the hominid, and then it came up through the animal kingdom, and it's advanced now, and we've reached the point that there's an emergence of a new awareness that I call Homo spiritus. See, Homo erectus learned how to walk on two feet. Homo sapien learned how to think with his frontal cortex. Homo spiritus goes beyond the intellect, calibrates at 500 and over, is aware of the field, not the content of the field, the ego and form and the Newtonian paradigm, but is aware and experiences the power and the reality of the spiritual domain, which calibrates 500 and up. So the emergence of love then becomes now a more emergent, dominant field, which more profoundly influences human behavior.
Dr. Hawkins ends this session introducing the concept of new, evolved humankind as we calibrate beyond the intellect and into the greater spiritual domain of the 500s. He terms this state as Homo spiritus. Take some time to envision what ramifications this evolutionary state might have. How would your life be different? How would the earth be transformed? Allow yourself to be guided through your imagination as you open your perception to a world of higher resonance, a more peaceful and powerful earth.